You are listening to A Difference for One podcast, episode number 63. I'm Michelle.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Charisse.
And I'm Cami.
We are the English Sisters.
We come together to share life-changing methods of improvement through a variety of topics.
We hope that above all, these discussions will help you feel that Jesus Christ is making a difference for you, the one. And we also hope that our podcast will inspire you to find simple ways that you can make a difference for one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode with all four of us today, Michelle, Nicole, Cami, and Charisse. We're so excited to all be here with you today, and we want to talk about a topic that we have all been thinking about a lot lately, and that is on boundaries. The four of us like to share each other's library subscriptions, and so that if we want to borrow a book on our phones and listen to it or read it, we have more of a variety of books that we can rent. And one of those books that we recently rented was Boundaries by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. And we all listened to it. So we want to discuss a little bit about that and how there were some great things that we all learned and were able to feel like we could implement into our lives to make them better. I'm sure most people are familiar with what a boundary is, but I really liked the illustration of thinking of it as a fenced-in yard. If you just have an open field, you don't know where the boundaries of where your yard ends and the next yard begins. But if your yard is fenced in, it's very clear where that boundary lies. But you also want to have a gate in your yard so that you can let the good in and the bad out. And you want to make sure that it's not a tall stone or brick wall shutting everyone out and not letting anything come in or out. And so I really like that analogy of just having that gate that's short enough that you can see your neighbors, but they know where you end and they begin. And then just having that vulnerability of being able to look into each other's lives without having that brick wall up. So we might talk more about that later. I personally loved how much it talked about God and scripture in there. They had a lot of scripture references throughout the book talking about how God sets his boundaries up and reiterating their points through scripture, and how sometimes people can misinterpret what the scriptures say and think, I'm not a Christian unless I do whatever others want me to do and just always be serving and giving. But they clarify in the book what it really means to be a Christian and to live the way that God would want us to. And so I wanted to start there talking about what boundaries look like with our relationship between God and us.
We'll be back after this quick break with a message from our sponsors.
So if you think about our relationship with God, he makes it very clear through his word what he allows and what he doesn't, but he doesn't use his power to control others or to control us. If we want to be in communion or presence with him, we have to respect his boundaries, and he's always going to respect ours. And what does that look like? For those of us that know God is there, he is happy to make himself known often and let us know his will if we're seeking it out, but he's never going to force his will upon us. So we can always read his word in the scriptures. We can pray and seek to have a relationship with him and ask him to speak to us through the Spirit, let us know how we should live our lives, but he's never going to try to control us or push that on us. And we kind of set the boundary there. If you've ever seen the painting of Jesus knocking on the door and there's no handle on the side that he's knocking on, God and Jesus Christ are going to knock on our door, but it's up to us to open it and let him in. And on the flip side, he expects us to respect his boundaries, respect the laws that he has set in place if we want to be in his presence and live with him again someday. So whether we choose to follow his commandments and do the things the way that he wants us to do them now or sometime in the future, that's a process that needs to happen before we get to live in his presence. And if we choose not to, he's totally okay with that. And he loves us and wants us to be with him, but he respects our decision to choose another way. Hopefully that's all making sense.
One of the things I thought it was interesting was when they said that one of the most astounding teachings of the Bible is that we can influence God. And I thought that was interesting because I think what they meant is that he really cares about what we have to say and the things that we care about. And they said that it wouldn't be a real relationship if we couldn't.
Yeah, I like that too, because it was making God more real feeling, at least to me. It made it feel more personal, my relationship with him. And it's not to say that his will won't be done because of our influence on him, but just that sometimes he will go a different direction with his will based on the things that we ask for.
Yeah, and I also liked that they said that he wants to see if we will still love him when he says no. So even when we have our input and make it known what's so important to us, that we are open to whether he says yes or no to that thing or whatever the answer is, and that our love is not conditional upon the answer. And that helps us learn how to take that to all of our relationships that we have on the earth.
That's really cool. I did not catch that. I listened to the book twice and I don't remember it talking about that. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. I'll have to go back and look at that part again, but that's so cool. I love how it makes it really personable. Like it's a two-way relationship that we're both building and growing together. And I do like the idea that God's majesty and power grows as we grow and develop. Like his brightness gets brighter and brighter as we get brighter. At least that's the way that I see it. Do you guys see it the same way?
I think that I notice his brightness getting brighter when I pay attention to that. I don't know if his brightness ever changes, but my perception of it changes. At least that's my experience of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, not to veer off too much. We'll go back to the topic of boundaries. I wanted to start by talking about God and how he has an example of boundaries, because I want to try to be as much like God as I can, as imperfect as I know I'm going to be at that. If we can look to him for an example and to our Savior for an example, they are the perfect example of what boundaries should look like. I wanted to talk a little bit about a conflict that we might be having with someone else, where in the book it talked about we can never tell someone else what to do. Like, let's say in a marriage, we have a conflict where one is yelling at the other and it's really hurtful to get yelled at. You don't want, or at least most people don't want to be yelled at. So you can handle that situation a lot of different ways. You can yell back, or you can cry, or you can walk away or whatever. But in the book, he talks about how we really can't control the other person's actions. So we can't control whether someone's yelling at us or not, right? But we can control how we respond to that. And we can set that boundary up in the beginning to say, hey, I don't like to be yelled at. You get to choose to do whatever you want. So if you choose to yell, just know that I'm going to walk away, or I'm going to get in the car and wait for you to text me and let me know that you've calmed down. And once you've calmed down, I'm happy to come home and have a calm conversation about whatever it is that we need to address there. Because we all can have angry feelings at some point, and I've just chosen to walk away and try to come back when we're both in a calm state to talk about that. Something like that, to where we aren't trying to control and make them stop yelling, like try to manipulate them or be like, when you yell, I'm going to cry, or, you know, things like that. But just to be like, you can do what you want, but I'm going to protect myself, or I'm going to grab me and the kids and we're going to go sit in the car until it feels more safe to be in this space.
As you were talking, Michelle, I was thinking of a book I'm reading, and in the book, it's a memoir, and the person is talking about how they grew up in a home where they had an abusive father, and it's really difficult to explain boundaries to those who are in those types of situations, because a lot of times they don't feel like they're in control of even themselves, because they absolutely cannot control the person that's being violent. And for those situations, I just want to say that we can't really address that in this podcast. So keep that in mind. But if you have unresolved trauma from your past resembling something like that, don't try to use these skills to try to reconfigure and heal your past with I shoulda, coulda, woulda in these situations, but more so like make sure that you are in the company of like a therapist or a licensed professional who can help you navigate that, because this is more catered toward what you can do right now in the present moment or plan for future experiences. And I say this because I want to be careful and I want to make sure that this isn't a one size fits all in every situation.
Yeah, we definitely want to be sensitive to different backgrounds and realities that people face. And that is something to be aware of, that setting our boundaries has a lot to do with, whether it's easy or hard to set boundaries, has a lot to do with our past experiences. And so that's going to look different for every person. And depending on the kind of past you have is going to determine what kind of support system you need around you. It might be that you need a couple of good friends in your corner, like the four of us could all be in each other's corner since we've been talking about this, to say, hey, this is a situation I'm in. How can I set my boundaries or, you know, get some support so that when I go in, I can come back and let you know how it goes or something. It talks a lot in the book about making sure that you have good friends around you to support you when you are having to address something that's really challenging for you. But of course, there are also support groups and, like Charisse mentioned, therapists and other things that might be necessary to get over more significant past traumas. Cami, before we go too much farther, do you want to explain Brooke Castillo's views on boundaries and how they might be similar and maybe a little bit different than the way these authors look at it?
Yeah, so I did read this boundaries book, but I wanted a refresher on what Brooke Castillo, how she talked about boundaries, because I just remember really liking her episodes on it when I listened to them. And it just helped me to think about what a boundary would actually be and when a boundary violation might take place. Because sometimes people think there is a boundary violation when there actually isn't. So she explains it as, this isn't a way to control other people. It's a way to take care of yourself and to protect yourself. And so you have to be really clear about what you will and will not stand for in your life. And it's not always a spoken boundary. Like the example she gives is, a lot of people won't tolerate someone hitting them, but that doesn't mean that with every person that they meet, they let them know, hey, I have this boundary. I will not allow someone to hit me. And if you do, I am going to do such and such, like walk away. That would be crazy for us to say that to everyone we meet. So we have these unspoken boundaries. You only need to establish a boundary with someone when a clear boundary violation has happened. So you have a clear idea of what your boundaries are, and then someone crosses that boundary. So then it's time to make that known with them. So you let them know, hey, this is a boundary that I have that's been crossed. If this happens in the future, I just want to let you know, like with all the kindness and love in my heart, that this is what I'm going to be doing. An example she gives, that this would be so great for someone like me. She has a friend who is habitually late to everything. And so she says, I just let her know that when we have lunch plans, I'm going to wait for 15 minutes. And then after 15 minutes, if she's not there yet, I'm just going to go. And it doesn't mean that I'm mad at her. It doesn't mean anything about her or me. That's just what I'm going to do to protect myself and my time. So someone like me who has this habit of being late, like I am going to try harder to make that happen, because if that happens again, I know that they're just going to leave. For me, in my mind, I might not even understand that that's a boundary that I have. And so if they just stay quiet about it, they could harbor all of these resentful feelings. And then it's creating this tension in the relationship that I don't even know is there and doesn't need to be there on their side.
I think we all can relate to that. Haven't we all been in times where we're super frustrated about the way that a situation is going or a conflict that we're having with someone, and that person doesn't even know that there's a conflict because we haven't addressed it with them. We're just frustrated about it and we continue to let it get to us. We continue to be bothered by it. And we sometimes may even talk to other people about it, but we never address that person and tell them how frustrating this is. I recently had to let a friend know of a boundary violation, and I teach her daughter reading lessons, and there have been instances where she has not shown up without calling or texting, you know, letting me know that they're not coming. and then not paying on time and things like that. And so I just sent her a text saying, hey, I need consistency in these reading lessons. So does your daughter. If we're going to continue, this is what it needs to look like. I need to be paid every Friday. I need to know a week ahead of time if dates need to be switched. And if lessons are missed, I'm going to charge either way for them because I have set that time aside for that lesson. And it was really hard for me to do and probably way overdue for me to be that upfront about it and just let her know that that is my expectation. And then that gives her the opportunity to say, hey, this isn't working out. We're going to look for something else. She's welcome to do that. But she also knows that if it's going to continue, these are the boundaries that I have set because my time is precious to me. And knowing that consistency is going to be there is really important to me. And rather than getting frustrated about the situation or being like, where are they? Are they coming? Or I didn't get a call or haven't been paid in a while, or I sent that request on Venmo and it hasn't been paid, you know, but to just be straightforward and clear about the expectation. And then she gets to decide how she feels about it. And this is something that has really been hard for me, just a personal struggle, is to be upfront about those expectations and to not put too much feeling. I'm not going to read into this. I'm not going to think that she's a bad person or any of those things. I'm going to try to keep the feelings out of it and just say, this is the boundary that I need to set. And I hope that you're able to respect that. And I understand if that doesn't work out for you, you know?
I have that problem. And I can relate to what you're saying, Michelle, because when conflict happens in front of me, my immediate reaction is to shut down and cower away and try to not be part of it and not feed the fire and to just try to like keep the peace. I've learned lately that when I'm keeping the peace, quote unquote, I'm actually causing more harm within me just because everybody else is happy. I'm allowing for them to continue doing their destructive behavior instead of teaching them my point of view of their behavior, like what you were explaining.
In the relationship you have with them too, because you're not being honest with them. And so a good relationship can't be based on lies, you know?
And they might not even know that it's an issue until you say something. That happens to me all the time. I realize way too late that something I did was a problem. And then I feel bad and I'm obsessing over all the things that I did wrong for so long and didn't even know. And it really eats away at me.
Just to sum up all of these points, what she said that keeps running in my mind is she said, don't complain or blame someone else for your lack of boundaries. And so you can sit and you can complain and talk about someone all day long and blame them. But when really the problem would be solved if you realized it's your own problem and it's something that you can fix easily by creating those boundaries.
So I am like you guys, Michelle and Therese. I don't know if you're this way too, Cammy, but I really, really am uncomfortable with conflict or confrontation and I don't like it. So what I'm wondering and was wondering while I was reading the book is, how do you work on this little by little? Because if I do it all at once, it's just going to be like, I don't know, doing surgery on myself when I need to do like band-aids or something. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you work on it little by little? Because I think it'll be a shock to my system if I try to do it exactly how he says right away.
Yeah, I have spent way too much time in the past complaining and resenting for boundaries that I never made clear and that I'm frustrated about. And sometimes I express that frustration to that person and they have no idea what they did wrong or, you know, because it's not a boundary that they understood. And I've even, since listening to this book, I've even run that through my head and thought, I can't be mad at this person right now because I didn't set a clear boundary. I need to work through this on my own to say, what can I do to change this situation? And perhaps even say the serenity prayer, which we've probably said before in our podcasts, but God grant me the serenity to change the things I can change, accept the things I can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. I need to look at myself and what things that I can change personally about myself And then what other things do I need to establish a boundary to let someone else know where my perspective is on what I'm going to do in the future? And then what things do I just need to accept that that's the way that it is, because that's their stewardship, that's within their boundary, and I'm going to just love them and accept them for that. So to answer your question, Nicole, he actually addresses that in the book and says that there have been traumatizing experiences of people that he has counseled with that have come in and said, okay, I decided to set up all my boundaries, and I did it with my friends, and I did it at work, and I did it with my husband, and it's not going to work for me. My whole life was falling apart. And he was like, well, it's because you try to do it all at once. You have to have, like we said before, a support system behind you. So you need to have your friends there that have your back while you are setting up a boundary with your husband that's really important to you. And once that's in place and you have established that and things are in a better place, then you work on things with your coworkers, or you work on things with one friend at a time and do it little by little so that it's not so traumatizing, and start with a small, insignificant thing that's like not really that big of a deal, so that you can get up the courage to do it with bigger things.
I'm about to hyperventilate just thinking about it, but okay. If you say so.
One thing I like that Brooke Castile said is that if you don't feel peaceful or loving, then it's not time to set a boundary. So that could be where you start, is don't start in whatever you might be in the thick of, where you are like so angry or frustrated with this person. Maybe start in something that you have already come to terms with, or you feel calmly about, and you feel loving and peaceful towards the person, and then you can create a boundary with them. Nicole said, that's stupid.
Sorry. No, I think it's good. I'm not actually thinking of a specific instance or person or anything. Mine's probably just my own mental issues. I don't like people knowing what I'm thinking. So if I set all these boundaries, then people are going to know exactly what I think, and that's a problem. But change my paradigm, I guess.
We got bigger issues than can be solved on this podcast today.
Yeah.
Well, so I was going to say that made me think of 2 points. Number one, he said that anger is an indication that a boundary needs to be set. It's a warning sign for us. So we don't want to suppress our anger or ignore it or push it to the side. I know sometimes in my life, I will feel guilty about feeling angry or expressing anger. It is necessary to express our anger appropriately, but it also is important for us to look at why we're angry about a situation. What do we need to change, or what can we do about that anger to help it not grow and fix whatever warning sign is going off? And I think that that's really important. Like Cammie was saying, we don't want to address the boundary issue in our anger. So maybe we need to process it on our own, journal about it, write out, you know, what we're going to say, how we want this boundary to look. And then when we're in a calm and loving place with that person, we can then address the boundary and let them know where we stand and how we're feeling. Because people can't argue with your feelings. Your feelings are how you feel.
A couple of things I wanted to add on to what I learned from Brooke Castile is she says that it's not appropriate to make a request with a consequence. So to let someone know that there's a boundary violation and that this is what I will do in a situation that isn't actually a boundary violation. So if someone doesn't call me back and that's frustrating to me, then I can let them know, like, I would love if you would call me back and make a request of them, but they haven't crossed a boundary, because they haven't actually come into my space and interrupted a clear boundary that I had set for myself. And so I don't need to set up a consequence for what I will do if they don't call me back, because that becomes more of manipulation.
Unless they had previously committed to call you at a certain time.
Well, but that's only if you had said, if you're not able to get on this call with me at this time, then this is what I'll do. Like, if it's something where they are violating your boundary of time.
Yeah, I meant like if they had previously committed to call you at a certain time and then they didn't do it, and then you have another call in the future, then you could say something like, if that happens again, then I will blank.
Yeah. And one thing I liked with this is that she says that this doesn't mean that you shouldn't make those dinner plans. If your mother-in-law is coming over all the time and you say, if you keep coming over without letting me know beforehand, then the door is going to be locked and, you know, we probably won't be available at that time. But it doesn't mean that you need to completely cut your mother-in-law out for the rest of your life. That doesn't need to be what a boundary is. Still continuing, like how she has that friend that's always late, she still makes those lunch plans because it's important to her to grow her relationship with her friend. And if you're completely cutting off relationships just because you're trying to run from making these boundaries, then it doesn't give the relationship any room for growth. And when you have boundaries, then intimacy is increased, not decreased. And you can be more honest and tell more of your truth. Whereas if you're just running from it and cutting off ties with people, then you can't ever have that intimacy. Another thing I like that she said is that people in your life that trigger you the most can be your greatest teachers. So maybe like where Nicole was saying, where do I even start? You can think about who in your life or what situations are your greatest triggers, and then start from there and think about, what can I learn from this? Like, how will they be my greatest teacher in what I want to improve in my life?
Well, I have a question about that. Maybe I just need to have situations happen to me since reading the book to know the answer to this, but I don't know if I really even know when I should set a boundary. And I'm also wondering how you know what the boundary should be.
I think you know what, like, if you think about it, you have a lot of things that are boundaries for you that you just know. Like, what will you not tolerate in your life? I mean, it just like someone punching you in the face, is that something that you will or will not tolerate? And if you think about, like, there may be things that aren't so obvious, like maybe you're not thinking so much about how this certain friend you have in your life is late all the time, that it's actually affecting you. But if you start going through your life thinking of ways that, like, this is something that I do hold dear to me, my time or my space that I value, then you'll start figuring out ways that you can say yes and choose to say yes when that's meaningful to you, and say no and choose to say no, so that your yeses and your nos become more meaningful.
I think another example that would help Nicole, because she relates to parenting a lot, would be an example that has to do with her kids. If someone comes in with this loving suggestion, like, oh, I really think you should do blah, blah, blah with this child. And immediately Nicole knows that that's not what she wants to do. That's not what she will do. That's not even an ethical thing to do. She knows that boundary right away, and she can respond immediately in the conversation because it's something that she's premeditated about, like something that she's thought about before. A boundary could be not letting a child eat off of your plate. I, you know, didn't have that boundary when my oldest was a toddler. And she would just come and eat something off my plate while I'm sitting there eating. And eventually it was starting to get annoying. And my friend pointed out to me when I was at her house, and she said, you know, you don't have to let her do that if you don't want to. And I was like, what? This was a new thing for me. And so then I established the boundary of, you eat your food, you eat your food. And with my kids, you know, they don't share cups. They don't share water bottles. They eat their food separately so that we don't have sickness spreading more often. I especially had to be conscious of that when my husband had cancer and his immune system was really poor, where this is your food, this is your plate, and this is your food, this is your plate. And if you don't finish it, then you can finish it at a later time, but you will be the only one to be finishing this. And that was a boundary that I created for my family and for my home.
And one thing that's really important, like what Sharice is saying, is the follow through. If Sharice had set this boundary with her kids, and then when her kids test that by taking something off her plate and she would have just let them, then they know she's not actually serious about this boundary. So when you create the boundary, you have to make sure that you follow through with that, as difficult as it might be, even if that does mean that you are sacrificing a relationship. If someone is consistently, I mean, not with your kids, but like with other people in your life, if someone is consistently crossing a boundary, like you have to be willing to sacrifice it. And that's the most difficult part about it.
And that also means that when you're setting the boundary, you have to decide beforehand whether you're willing to actually do what you say you're going to do if the boundary is crossed.
That's why it's good not to do it in anger, because then you might just say the craziest thing. Like, I don't know, if you don't call me back, I'm going to kill you, you know, like, and you're never actually going to do that, hopefully.
I won't say that to you guys, just so you know. But my question is, how do you know when something is becoming too much for you? Is it just, besides the anger, is it just if you start to see yourself feeling annoyed at something? Because I am a type of person who is just go with the flow and just like let people do what they want to do and just deal with it. Who cares? It'll be fine. So how do you realize when it's becoming too much for you that you need to set a boundary?
I think the biggest way to know is if your feelings are overriding your logic in the situation. If you're going off of, I feel offended, instead of going off of, I did this, they did that, I did this, they did that. If you can't keep it just logical as your mind is processing it, and you have all of these emotions trying to override and take over the situation because you're just like on fire about it, I think that's when it's time to back off for a minute and recuperate and then readdress later.
Yeah, I think that it's totally okay if your personality is to be more relaxed about things. Maybe you don't have as many situations in your life where you need to set boundaries, like let people live the way they want to live, you know? For me, sometimes I think I don't have a lot of situations where I feel like people are crossing my boundaries and I have a lot of boundary issues. And maybe that's because I've already resolved them, or I've already set them up, maybe not even knowing that I set them up. Like, for instance, with my babysitting that I do, I let people know my expectation in the interview. This is how I will take care of your child. This is when I expect to be paid. This is what days off look like for me and for you. I lay it all out there. I print it out for them. I send a copy home with them, and I even ask them to sign it on their first day of childcare when they come back to me, because I want us all to be on the same page. And there have been times where I have a sick policy where if I call off because I'm sick, then they don't have to pay me. But if they call off sick or cancel at the last minute for any reason, they do pay me for those days. And so there have been times where I've had to, although it's kind of uncomfortable, text them and be like, hey, just to remind you what that sick policy looks like, what we agreed to when we first interviewed. And because sometimes it'll be like a year between interview and start date, and they don't remember that agreement that we made, which is why I had them start signing it and returning it to me that first day coming back, was because sometimes they didn't keep the copy, they didn't remember or whatever. But I do that because I had experiences in my past where I hadn't laid out those boundaries and said, you know, it was like, well, when are you going to pay me? I don't even know how much you owe me because I can't even remember the last time you paid me or whatever. And just not having those set expectations in the beginning. And so there are a lot of things that I think naturally set themselves up in my life that haven't been exactly like that, where I've had to be so clear and concise. But as we are in relationships with people and we just naturally let them know what we allow and what we don't allow, a lot of things are common sense. Most people know that you shouldn't walk onto someone's property and just like let your kids jump on their trampoline or whatever. I want to agree with what Sheree said about going off of your feelings. If something really bothers you, if you're angry about something or it just gets on your nerves or whatever, that's when you know it's time to analyze if some boundary needs to be set. If it's violating you in some way or you feel any of those negative feelings. And it is really hard to set those boundaries at some points. It's super uncomfortable. But it's more important to be honest than it is to not hurt their feelings or avoid the conflict.
And then just let it fester and get worse.
Because you try to avoid the conflict, but it's not really avoiding the conflict if you still have that conflict going on inside of you. One other thing that I wanted to point out, Cammy kind of alluded to it earlier, was when you say yes to something, like if someone asks you to do something for them, that means you're saying no to something else. So in the book, he talks about a dad that works all the time, and the mom just explains it away. Oh, this is how he shows love for our family, is by working a lot so we can have the things that we want and need. But really, he didn't recognize that when he's saying yes to hours upon hours of work, he's saying no to more time with his family. And so we do want to recognize that whenever we say yes to something, we're saying no to something else. So we want what is within our stewardship to be taking priority and make sure that those have the yeses first, like taking care of our family, whatever the case may be that is within our stewardship. I really love this discussion. I hope that we can come back soon and talk about boundaries with our children more and spouses and how it affects us spiritually, emotionally, things like that. Thank you so much for all of your feedback and joining me. I really enjoy these conversations with you. I want to end with a spiritual thought. I want to share two different versions because I love the wording in both versions. It's a scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. And the King James Version says, "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." Like, it's really hard to chasten or be chastened. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And then the NIV version says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." I love the wording with both of those translations when it comes to just talking about the boundaries that we need to set are going to be uncomfortable in the moment, but in the long run, it's going to bring about a joyous, peaceful fruit or harvest. And as we set those boundaries up now, whether it's with our kids or spouse or friends, coworkers, all of that, it takes hard work and discipline to establish what we want our boundaries to look like and then follow through, like what we have said we're going to do if those boundaries are crossed. It takes work to be consistent with that and to say the uncomfortable things that are honest. But as we do that, our relationships with people will be enriched and we will live a happier, fuller life, knowing that we have those boundaries in place and that we're putting our priorities in the right place where they need to be. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will talk to you next time.
If you like this podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. If it resonates with you, the greatest compliment you could give is to share it with a friend who might benefit from it as well. Check out A Difference for One on Instagram for additional content. And if you have any questions, comments, a topic you'd like to hear about, or if you'd be interested in a free mini coaching session, send an email to adifferenceforone@gmail.com.